Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, they come as if from outer space in a variety of weird guises. Defender, Pac-Man, asteroids. To fans, they represent a challenge. But to critics, as Terry Drinkwater reports, they are a menace.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanell here, Tommy. And what is that I hear in the background? Is that the pitter-patter of little feet and then two more little feet? Adam Knox over there in Edinburgh, UK, can you hear that as well? Something in the background at Tommy's house.
I would have the world's greatest hearing to be able to hear a pitter-patter of four little feet in, on the other side of the country. All I can hear is screaming from seagulls and the sound of a sizzling impending heat wave over here. But those little pitter-patters, what do they have to, who are they attached to?
Well, boys, for the third time on a podcast this week, I'm going to tell you some big news.
Yeah, one of them also our podcast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I have for a long time, like a lot of people, looked down my nose at people who, you know, get on the socials and use photos of their kids and pets as, you know, fishing for likes. But then I tell you what, I've chucked my new dog on the stories a couple of times, and boy howdy, the response you get certainly beats any of the other shit I'm doing on there. So I think we're going to be taking a hard pivot over at Dasilow to just nonstop dog content, because the people have voted and that's fucking what they want out of that account. And I am more than happy to oblige.
I brought it up on this show as well, A, because I, you know, I got to have an intro joke or an intro thing, and because I noticed on Patreon, on our Patreon, like just the page itself, we posted a couple of pics or a pic of the little fella, and it got more likes than literally anything we've ever put on Patreon before. It's like, okay, I know what our audience likes.
Yeah, anyone watching Better Call Saul? Nah, I've got a German Shepherd though.
It's a cute dog. Little furry, little kind of Snowy from Tintin kind of guy.
Yes, yes, very much that vibe. I think the name we're going to go with is Cupie. Although, on your suggestion, Ben, I've put together a list of my top five video game dogs.
Hell yeah.
In honor of the great man currently in my house. And
yes.
You know, maybe this could, maybe one of the names of one of
when
these.
When you say,
dogs.
I'm sorry, when you say the great man currently in my house, are you talking about your dog when you say the great man?
Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't a yours truly situation.
No. He's, you know, he's got two people running around picking his shit up after him. He's just crying all night, keeping the other occupants of the house awake. That's pretty big great man behavior as far as I see it.
It's hard to tell because he's got that rugged looks. Is he a puppy? Is he an older dog?
He's like 12 weeks old.
Yeah, and, right. That's puppy town.
You have to get him into puppy school before 16 weeks. If you miss that cutoff, you're fucked apparently. And
that's the fucking Hogwarts. You can teach a dog at any. I know the saying.
Yeah.
You can teach a dog of any age any trick.
Just on the phone to the vet, like, hang on, this is not what I've been led to believe my whole life by the famous saying. Teaching an old dog new tricks is the easiest thing in the world. Why
How
do people
old's your
say
dog?
That? It's not true.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's never too late to shift careers. You can go back to study whenever you want to. But I thought it was going to be a little light on this week in terms of video games content, so I suggested maybe a top five video game dogs. A few news stories did come across the news desk in the past 12 hours, though, which is good. But let's, yep. yeah, let's go through, I guess these are your personal ones, Tommy. I've got some worst dogs that I'll okay. mention at the end.
Well, these are my...
I can let me just say I can't participate in this dog thing at all because this whole discussion happened while I was asleep. And I didn't happen to wake up from a dream about dogs. So,
yeah, straight out of bed into Googling video game dogs yeah. in the like half an hour you have
Red
before
guy
we
from
start
Mega
recording.
Man. fucking that one who picks up the ducks.
Yep. Well, okay, so this is...
Okay.
These are my personal top five, and hey, like we haven't locked in the name yet, so one of these, you know, we could potentially end up naming our dog after mm-hmm. one of these famous video game dogs. The Duck Hunt dog is number one on my list.
Okay,
right.
Love the idea of being down at the park and just yelling out, "Duck Hunt dog." here, Duck Hunt dog.
I reckon if you're doing that, though, I know that if I had my dog in the park and was not within earshot of you, I'd be like, I'm like, dumb cunt dog with this guy, the way he's
right. Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yes, mm-hmm. yes. You'd be particularly sensitive to that because you're a brand new dog owner. You're like, oh, no, they're all making fun of me down at the dog park.
Yeah. Time to go back onto Instagram where people actually love me and my dog instead of fucking judging us.
And that's real. That's a real relationship between you and the people on Instagram. So
yeah,
I do love that canonically his name is Duck Hunt Dog in the games. Like they put him in Smash, and you know, probably that would be the opportunity to kind of like lock in an actual. You know, they could have just gone, oh, it's actually not mentioned anywhere in the manual or the game, but his name is actually Rex. They just went. Nah, he's called Duck Hunt Dog.
Yep. Yep.
Well, is his name Duck Hunt Dog or is his name Duck Hunt and he's a dog?
His name in Smash, I believe, is Duck Hunt Dog.
Okay.
Because like Huckleberry Hound, his name is Huckleberry Hound.
Right. He's not
Huckleberry the Hound.
Right.
I believe. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, are there people out there with the surname Human?
I don't think so. There's people
out there with the surname Peoples.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're like the Huckleberry Hound of humans. Okay, number two. Right. And also, he looks a bit like this dog too. KK Slider, famous guitar-playing dog from Animal Crossing.
That's good. Great. Yeah. KK Slider's a good one. If your dog can't whistle, I would probably avoid... It's like if you had a very untalented child and you're like, this is my kid, you know, I don't know, Britney Spears
Miles
or
Davis.
Whatever. Yeah. you need a musical dog.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I suggested this name to my girlfriend. She's a big Animal Crossing fan. And she kind of, you know, she's into the idea of the dog being named after something from the Animal Crossing universe. But again, being down at the park and yelling out, KK...
Yeah.
You can only yell it once.
And then I think that Slider on its own would be an okay name, but you risk people thinking maybe you've named it after the 1990s TV show Sliders.
Right.
Exactly.
I reckon you can whip out KK Slider when it's got worms, because that's when it'll be sliding.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'll clean the carpet. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, now my third favorite video game dog, even
Number
though I don't like
three.
The game that he's from, Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, that was the first one that came to mind when I suggested this concept myself. I thought of Parappa the Rapper and then I went about my day.
Yep.
We played this, didn't we? We played this for a bonus episode.
Yeah, back in the day.
2 or 3 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the sequel, whatever that was called.
Parappa the Rapper 2.
No, if it was that obvious, I would have remembered. Yeah, it didn't hold up. Was not a fun rhythm game.
No.
It's been completely superseded.
Yeah, little songs and stuff. And I like Parappa himself.
Yeah.
I think outside the world of video games, if your dog is named Parappa the Rapper, I'm trying to think like you are. Dog park scenario. What's the everyman thinking? What's John Human out there on the street thinking about your dog? And I think Parappa the Rapper sounds like you've forgotten the name of Snoop Dogg and you're trying to remember he's a rapper. He's named after a dog. Parappa the Rapper. I don't know.
Parappity Rapper.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is a great video game dog, but I think for a lot of the reasons we were saying earlier, it's not going to make a good name for a dog. But Poochie from the Yoshi's Island games. Yoshi's little dog friend that's like a fat little sausage.
Yeah.
Love that Poochie.
Did
Love
Poochie Yoshi Poochie come before or after Simpsons Poochie?
Good question.
God,
I mean,
be
not
close.
That the name Poochie is so difficult to come up with that one or the other had to do it first and then the rest was a tribute, but
oh, that's a great phone call. Miyamoto getting on the blower to Matt Groening or vice versa and just and just unloading about plagiarism.
Well,
parallel thinking.
The Simpsons episode came out in 1997, specifically February 9th.
Okay.
That's after.
And was it Yoshi's Island, the original?
Yeah, 94 or 5, Yoshi's Island was.
95, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Fucking Simpsons.
That settles it. Shit.
Yeah.
The name Homer's actually Greek. It's like an ancient Greek name.
I remember they did a scene that really reminded me of something from Citizen Kane, and no one ever brought it up as like, you know. So I saw it. They fucking stole it.
Yeah, the fucking Gaul.
Absolute stones.
My number 5th favorite video game dog, and I think this is the one that the name most lends itself to a potential for my real life dog.
Okay.
Chop from Grand Theft Auto 5.
Right.
Oh!
Chop.
Yes! Chop is a sick name.
It's a good name.
It is a good name.
I love Chop.
Very different type of dog in Grand Theft Auto.
Hugely.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. Like me being named Shaquille O'Neal. good name, but.
Yeah.
And also, like, just having to tell people I named my dog after Grand Theft Auto 5. It's like, that's fucking one step away from the dog being called, like, Ron Burgundy in terms of, like, how embarrassing of, like, a cultural thing it is to be that obsessed with.
My dog is called Life Invader.
But you're right, Chop is the best name. If
out
Chop
of
is
all
good.
Of those, yeah.
Hide, somehow hide your tracks. It's a ripper name.
Yeah. Mm. Big Grand Theft Auto dog, or you could have. What about Nintendog?
Oh yeah, yep.
Oh yes, lean into it.
Yeah,
Do it
Nintendog
for the podcast.
Plus cats.
Yep. Okay.
Or
all
Nintendog
right.
Like Golden Retriever Edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to bring to the table here, and got to be honest, you know, I got to meet in the middle with my girlfriend, and I don't think any of these are getting over the line, honestly.
Okay.
KK Slider is about as close as it'll get because, you know, she's an Animal Crossing fan.
Hey, mate, if you wanted to name it after a dog, you could call it fucking Tommy Dassolo.
Oh, fuck.
That's what you could fucking name it if you want to name it after a low dog.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I thought you meant a pussy hound.
Imagine meeting that guy at the park who's just like, they tell you the name of the dog, and they're like,
"Yeah, my dog's name is Cops."
why'd you call it that? Oh, because that's my name, and I'm a fucking low dog. I hate myself, so I named my dog after me because that's what I deserve.
The dog's actually the leader.
My least favorite dogs in video games are every fucking dog in every From Software game. I've finished Elden Ring, been playing a bit more Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne because I got to the last boss in those two and couldn't beat them. But those fucking dogs, they're so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you gone in on Dark Souls 1 yet?
I started it, but it is quite a leap. I got the remastered one, but just... It's so much worse to play. It feels really old. But I've got it and I've got two as well, so I'll have to give them a crack at some point.
Possibly the most annoying dogs are in one.
Yeah, right.
You'll end up discovering.
Your least favorite part of the other ones is worse in the one that you haven't played yet. So enjoy that.
It's like two dogs specifically at one point, but yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. It's probably more likely, honestly, that I just start New Game Plus for Elden Ring because fucking hell, what a game.
Yeah, congratulations on finishing it, especially bouncing back from a devastating save deletion from your PC.
I don't know if I brought it up on the pod. Maybe I did. I was like 70 hours in and bang, save file gone. So I took the chance to buy it on PS5, see how that version ran and looked. And I mean, this time I beat it in, I think, like 49 hours.
Whoa.
So it's still a lot of time. But compared to the first one, or my first run through where I was like level 70-something and about 70 hours, this was like I was 111, level 111, and yeah, like less than 50 hours. But fuck, I guess I'm not finished in terms of like I'm going to go back and do more. I've done a lot, but there's like the Deep Root Depths and the Hallig Tree areas are the only two places I haven't gone yet, but I've pretty much cleared out every other area. And fuck me, it's good. I did say a couple of months ago that maybe I thought Bloodborne was better from the series overall, but man, I think it might be Elden Ring. I think it might be the best game.
It's weird because like, the scope and the scale and everything of Elden Ring is great. I think the structure works for an open world game, but there's something about like a Bloodborne where that there's that more linear kind of crafted thing that it is a very different taste and is hard to argue better or worse, but is maybe better. They've just put out a patch for Elden Ring like this week, I think, as well, where they've like fixed the summoning stuff that was like those summoning pools were always so confusing to me, and now you can use a summoning sign and have that affect multiple different areas. I think if you walked out of the area previously, it would stop looking there, even if you put down a sign, or it would stop showing you up for other people. So they're still going through and patching that game up and making
A lot of bug fixes in that balancing. I mean, they've rebalanced it with every patch. I think this is the fifth one.
Sixth one, I think, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. They've changed the mimic. Is it mimic tear or mimic tear? I saw someone pronounce it tear in a video, and I assumed it was tear.
I've assumed tear because it was like a little droplet was my thinking that it was like the tear of a mimic.
I think we're right. This was not an official video. I think this was just someone who was like talking about it. But they
video
they,
titled "You won't believe how wrongly this man pronounces words."
They nerfed the mimic tier a few patches ago. They stopped it from using like flasks and stuff because it was like ridiculously powerful. Something that I never got on my first playthrough. Never went that far down there to get the mimic tier, but.
There's a ton of shit in there. Have you started using like some little guides or little looking up little here's this thing you'll probably have missed for this quest or whatever that sort of thing yet?
A little bit, only to connect the dots. So like I started Rani the Witch's quest. I was like, oh, I want to get. How come I can't get past this door? Or something like that. You know, I went all the way through this underground bit and was like, why can't I get past the door? I'm sure that leads up to this other bit of the map that is in, like, you know, Limgrave or maybe Leonia. But I'm like, just looking up, like, how do I get up there? And so then I was like, oh, maybe you go through this. And, like, I had to look up how to get through the door. And they were like, oh, you do this quest and you get this item. So I've looked up a few connecting the dots bits, but I'm trying not to lean too heavily on them. It is hard to miss some of the quests, which is the case with the other From games that I played as well. It's like, well, if you don't talk to this NPC three times instead of twice, then you're not going to get their quest at all. So
yeah,
but that's especially you know that's with part like, of the design philosophy.
Yeah, it is. It is totally. They've been patching out sort of like straight up bugs that have been like made quests unbreakable, and then also I think making some a little easier to come across or to complete and things like that as they go. But I think it is worth with these games always, like, after you've kind of played it a bit and gotten your first experience of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Doing that stuff. There are guides that show you pretty vaguely what to do as well, or give you the sort of like checklists that the game refuses to put in there. That I think are worth doing at some point too, if you're still into it.
Yeah, I think I've like got a certain way along. Like I've started doing the what are they called? Everjails, and it's like, okay, well, apparently there's two more. And so, although I do think I'm stumbling across those pretty naturally, I don't know how I've found so much content in 26 hours less than I did the first time. But like I've really done like every fucking catacombs, every mine, every like, I don't know, maybe it is understanding the sort of general design philosophy of the games now. It's like, oh yeah, well, there'll just be something there, so look over there rather than following the path or whatever.
I think so, yeah, because it was like, I think my first one, not that I've done a second one, was like 76 or like 80-something hours or whatever. And it was a similar thing where I felt like I'd found every geographical portion of the game and probably missed some questline stuff, but like was pretty satisfied with like, I've found all the spots here.
Right.
Because yeah, you just it's similar to like Outer Wilds and things like that, where part of the thing with the From games is knowledge is one of your increasing abilities as you go through.
Elden Ring, beautiful detailed world. You know, great character design, so much atmosphere. When I've played Elden Ring, one of the main things I've thought is like this world would make an incredible film, and that is something I've also thought many, many times over the years about the video game of Pac-Man. And prayers have been answered.
Fucking finally. Why did they, you know, they started with Super Mario back in the day. It's like, you got to do so much work there to convert that into a narrative film.
Yeah.
You had Pac-Man sitting on the shelf right there in front of you.
Absolutely.
They're actually making one, finally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep.
I can't
they always
believe
said,
it.
You know, it was like Lord of the Rings. It's like, it's such a rich and beautiful and well written tale. How can you do it justice? How can you? It's the unfilmable game, they said.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Nox, you can take down your change.org petition. It was successful. You and the other 8 people that signed it, you can have a big party. They've heard you loud and clear over there in Hollywood. Lightbeam Entertainment have heeded the call. They are just absolutely high off the success of Sonic the Hedgehog that they worked on, and now they're clearly thinking there's nothing that we can't turn into a film.
Or they've said, "What's the one other video game we've heard of?"
So there's no plot details or information out there about this film yet.
I reckon there being no plot details won't change after the film has been released.
Yes, true. But what are we thinking based on, based on how they handled Sonic? I think we're probably looking at, I kind of see this as like a sort of Ghostbusters-y sort of take on the Sonic thing, right? So it's like these, you know, the ghost enemies that are in Pac-Man, they'll be very like literal in this real world setting. Right. We'll have a good looking leading man of the time, and a little portal opens somewhere, and Pac-Man comes through it, and him and this guy have to. Pac-Man's the only one that can take the ghosts down, so it's like a little bit of a Ghostbusters-y twist on the sort of CGI companion sort of film.
Do you think that it will be video game guy comes into the real world sort of thing again? Because like Sonic wasn't a video game guy in that movie, but he's you know,
he was
fish
an alien
out of water interacting with the real world.
I think it's going to be I think it's going to be similar. Pac-Man's like a little alien man living in another dimension, and he gets sucked into
be.
Our world.
But you're probably right that, like, what else does someone do under the pressures, I'm assuming, the studio that puts together a Pac-Man movie forces people to work under.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see it being the opposite somehow. I think I could see a guy being sucked into a Pac-Man machine.
Oh.
And
like Tron.
You know, like Tron, exactly. That's what I was picturing. And he's got to dodge some ghosts, and Pac-Man shows up and helps him and takes him back to his little pack house. And but then at the same time, there is something going on in the real world, some kind of personal, you know, emotional storyline for the guy who is a human. And then the ghosts break out of the Pac-Man. The Pac-Man breaks out. Real guy goes back to the real world, and they have to work together to save the day. I could see that.
I have to say, I literally, even as a joke, can't think of an idea of what you could do with a Pac-Man movie. Like, even an idea that could be as thin as I wanted it to be. It doesn't matter. Yep. Can't come up with one that would even begin to last for, let's call it let's be generous and say 80 minutes.
Right. Well, I had that bit in Pixels that we did a commentary of.
Yeah.
Where there's like a big Pac-Man going around the city, and it's like, that looked cool.
Oh, that's right.
That'll do. You know, they had his little creator going out, the real world creator of Pac-Man, doing a little cameo, trying to reason with him, trying to appeal to his sense of humanity, and he just got fucking eaten or something. That's all we needed.
Right.
That's the Pac-Man movie. That's all we need out of a Pac-Man movie. Just that, like, 4-minute sequence. That'll do. That's plenty.
Do you reckon it's about actual Pac-Man and it's another mascot? Like, you know, Sonic, hey, everyone buy the Pac-Man. He's anthropomorphized. It's the Pac-Man from Pac-Man World for some reason. Mm-hmm. Or is this movie going to end up being about Pac-Man, the game, and like about 80s Pac-Man fever or something maybe?
Ooh. Well, I wouldn't mind that actually. Even if it's set present day and we have like a bit of a, you know, history lesson in the opening, it's like we see our main character when he's like a little kid and he's down at the... But again, this is just sort of the beginning of Pixels, isn't it? Like he's just down at the arcade and he's like loving Pac-Man and then somehow Pac-Man from the video game, he kind of like morphs into our world, and then you get a lot of like, holy shit, it's you, Pac-Man.
I can't believe. I literally cannot fucking believe it's Pac-Man.
Yeah.
It's such a... The character design just does not lend itself to being real in any way.
They literally just had to change it when they ever had him be something other than a little squish on an old thing. They had to draw a different guy. The Pac-Man that they drew with legs is just a different thing.
Yeah. And I don't mind him, but now I'm getting excited because if this is the same people that handled Sonic, do you think that means we're going to get a look? Because it's literally just a circle with legs, and I like the kind of redesign of him. You know, he kind of looks kind of cute, looks kind of funny. But as we know with the example from the Sonic movie, there's a huge chance that, you know, we might get our first look at this and they've just made him look like he's not a square anymore. You know, he's like a big fucking rectangle. They just completely fuck with him. And just make him look just monstrous.
They give him human teeth and gums. Right. That would be the Sonic thing.
I wonder as well.
But I love that.
this could be an opportunity. This studio might want to, you know, recapture Lightning in a Bottle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey made a big comeback with Sonic the Hedgehog, it felt like. Do they get another 90s comedian to play the ghost or whatever villain of this? Oh. And like, this is Mike Myers making a return as all four different ghosts or something like that. Or Eddie Murphy could do the same.
Yeah. All of them. Just get all the big 90s comedians in as all the different, because there's multiple ghosts. Yeah. And they all, according to Pac-Man lore, I believe they all have different personalities. Oh. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Use the technology that they used in the Anthony Bourdain doco to get Chris Farley in there.
I was going to suggest Chris Farley, bring him back, paint him yellow.
Yeah,
that cunt's Pac-Man.
He's Pac-Man. Yeah, nice. Nice.
You just
simply
need to bring Chris Farley back to life and then your movie's set.
Yeah.
Hey, Peter Ustinov was in, what's his name? The other Peter guy, they brought the guys back for Star Wars, Grand Moff Tarkin and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you'd be wanting to look for 80s people rather than 90s, because Sonic is from the 90s, Pac-Man from the 80s. So this could be like fucking Billy Crystal and Chevy Chase coming back.
We simply need to bring Jim Belushi back to life.
Jim?
John.
We need to resurrect Jim Belushi's career.
Yeah.
Hey, he could have died while we've been recording. We don't know.
Hey, fingers crossed.
I hope not.
Who knows what this shit is going to be? I don't mind it being a... I mind it because it'll be like pure commercialized fake nostalgia, but like doing it in the 80s, making it about some kind of way that these like bunch of, you know, rowdy kids band together to fight the local, I don't know, Mega Mart trying to shut down the arcade, and they use Pac-Man as the, you know, they all love Pac, like some kind of thing where it's not literally Pac-Man the character,
right?
Might make more sense if you have to make a movie to make money off the Pac-Man license.
If you simply must, I just feel like every video game
some
movie
bizarre deal at some crossroads somewhere with a devil, where he says, you could have a successful Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Here's the price and a monkey paw. You know, and then a rabbit's foot breaks. What else happens in luck? A million different things happen to make you as unlucky as having a Helmer Pac-Man movie.
I just feel like every video game movie from now on should just take place in the Wreck-It Ralph universe. You know what I mean? Where it's like Toy Story, like living inside what the little video games are doing, like out the back of the machines when they're not turned on. That kind of premise of a little Pac-Man thing would be cool, you know?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Fully animated, put it in video game universe.
Yeah.
But then, the whole point with this is that this guy, Chuck Williams, who was a producer on Sonic, came up with an idea. Like, apparently he worked in the story department as well, and he pitched the concept for this movie. So this Chuck guy, he's got it.
Somewhere
he knows
out
what
there,
the concept is.
There's someone else in the world who knows this premise, and they've heard about it at 3 a.m. in a toilet cubicle.
Yep.
Why were two people in there? That's for one person at a time.
The other cubicles were all full, so they were both peeing in one cubicle.
Yeah. Okay. They really both needed to pee.
Well,
and they
be
couldn't
quick,
because
I've got cocaine I want to do, so be quick in there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. One way or the other, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It'll be content. It'll be content for us, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yep.
Speaking of beautiful content, that's what's expected from us by our sponsors over at whichever one we would like to mention first.
I'd love to mention Manscaped.
Hey.
They, yes?
Oh, that was just a supportive hay. That was just like, you know, like when they build like a little farm structure out of the big squares of hay. That type of supportive hay.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure we said hello to each other at the start of this call, but I guess it could also have been you just being like
delayed.
Hey.
No, it's like, you know, when like there's a beautiful day on a ranch, you're like, hey, you know, and it means like could be worse than this.
Yeah. Are you also maybe thinking of the Arthur theme song?
Hey!
Yeah, that's a different hey. I wouldn't even say that's a supportive hey. That's like a rounding up of everybody hey. That's an inclusive hey.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Like a ringleader.
Yeah,
hey!
Like a pay attention. What a wonderful kind of day.
See, I thought of it more as just a pure exclamation of joy, like to no one, to the universe. Hey!
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
about to start singing a song.
I think because he's walking down the street and feeling the rhythm of the beat or whatever, I think he's gathering kids like a Pied Piper on the way, and he's like beckoning them over with that hey to like tell them about.
Okay.
Well, one thing's for damn sure. Arthur, much too young to need the products of Manscaped.
However, he's an animal, so
he's
covered
an animal,
in fur.
Yeah. what about this? Okay, what about, you know what they do on farms with hay? They cut it down. And if you want to cut down the pubes that are growing out of your body, use the products made and distributed by Manscaped. That's right, Manscaped. They make the Lawnmower 4.0, which is a brilliant electric razor. You can use it on your face. You can use it on your head. You can use it on your anus. You can use it on your legs. You can use it on your pubis.
You can use it with a wocket. You can use it in your pocket. You can use it with a grubel.
It's waterproof. It does the job. This great little like plastic little safety sort of fringe thing that means like you'll never get, you know, cut or pinched or anything by it. It is the smoothest and most reliable and best electric razor I've ever used.
Same.
They do that. They do a actual little razor. They do some cologne. They do some balms.
Ear and nose hair trimmers. They give you a big lovely leather pouch thing when you get the performance package, I think it's called. And
I
travel with that thing in my bag, safe in the knowledge that none of my bullshit would leak all over my other bullshit. So
you've road tested it.
I sky tested it. The road of the sky. So I'm pretty into almost everything that they make. Not had any of their like actual the razors and the electrical stuff is really, really good. And you know what? If it's 20% more than you're willing to pay, we've got the solution for you. You can use the code filthy at manscaped.com and you get 20% off and free shipping.
Hell yeah. It's coming up on Father's Day in Australia. I think it is in about 2 or 3 weeks. Perfect gift for the dad who wants to trim his pubes. So go to manscaped.com, put in the code filthy, 20% off and free shipping.
Another product that I can endorse because I've used it over here, and then Binge fucking told me, hey, we figured you out, you're using a VPN. And I was like, get the fuck out of my face with that
really?
Shit. You have no idea.
Oh,
yeah, they did. I'm sure maybe I did something, but very irritating. Binge.
Great
shits.
That they haven't put in the technology to like be able to download and watch stuff offline, but they have put in the technology that'll suss out a VPN.
Very good priorities
of them.
Fuck Rupert Murdoch and every rebrand that he tries to go under. But yep. Got HBO on there. But maybe I could get HBO from the source by using a VPN such as NordVPN, which is another person. As anyone who's listened to this podcast in the last fucking ages would know, yeah, Manscaped and NordVPN, big, big sponsors of ours, and we genuinely like the things that they make. Nord makes a quick, easy-to-use, and pretty effective VPN that, you know, lets you travel around the world and also remain anonymous and secure on the internet. All of those things, to me, are the most important things in the world. Anonymity, yeah. Security, travel. My three big loves.
I don't think it's Nord specifically that are allowing you to travel. They're not like, you know, okay, we'll book the ticket for you.
They booked his flight. They didn't tell us.
Oh, really?
But they paid for Knox to go overseas.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's fair. He really loves VPNs. So, mm-hmm. you know, that was part of the deal, I guess. I didn't look at the fine print, but
I wrote them a 250 word essay about what I like, why I love VPNs.
250 word essay.
Yeah, that's what they always used to say on those little competitions. It would be like write us an essay, but then it would be like 11 words.
It's an essay in grade one.
I can't compress my thoughts to 250 words.
Yeah. Well, that is the mark of a poor writer. Or, as I would say,
the soul of
bad right.
But yes, NordVPN, it's good for like business purposes as well, not just for entertainment stuff. It obviously adds a layer of security to your browsing and your banking and all of those sorts of things. So you can get an exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/filthy or using the code filthy on their website anywhere to get a massive discount off your NordVPN plan. And this is new copy. This is a new tweak to the deal. 4 months free.
Four?
That's fucking, 4 months.
Wow. That's more than a season.
Yeah, that's it.
You could get
winter. You get your winter VPN.
You get winter, and come spring, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll be leaving my winter fling of NordVPN behind. And then Nord's like, you know what? I'm going to stay another month. And you're like, no, Nord. We can't go on like this.
That's naughty.
It was meant to be anonymous.
No. Yeah, September. You can wake up when September ends, and then you'll be paying for NordVPN.
Yeah.
But it's risk-free. You also get a 30-day money-back guarantee, but there's no reason that you'd ever want to get that money back because it's the best VPN on the internet. NordVPN.com/filthy. Do yourself a favor. Get a bloody VPN.
Yeah. Hey, boys, speaking of ads. Speaking of advertisements, I saw a style of advertisement the other day that I had never seen before in my life.
No, you didn't. There's no
I did.
Way.
I did.
Because advertising is the most prevalent thing in the world. In terms of media, most of it is advertising.
Okay, well,
Of advertising.
A new format of advertising. I've never seen this before. The tram stop ad, the bus stop ad, we've seen them. We're familiar with them.
Okay, good, because if you were going to say this was the new thing, I was about to...
Well, it's a new twist on an old classic. I was at a tram stop, right? Yeah, big poster at this tram stop. Standard stuff. Seen that a million times. Here's the wrinkle. Little screen attached halfway down to the poster, sticking out with some speakers on either side, playing a video and a little button that you could push to kind of like restart the video and I believe like mute or unmute the sound. Whoa. And this was all in service of letting me know that coming soon is the video game Saints Row.
Where the fuck did you see this?
I saw this at the tram stop that is outside the St. Vincent's Hospital. Guys, if you're in Melbourne, you got to get... This is an ad for an ad. You got to get down and check out this.
I'm going to go.
Tram stop advertisement. It's unbelievable.
I've seen elements of these, the speakers I don't tend to see. That's like, that reminds me of Total Recall when the ads are blaring at him on the train. Videos of, you know, they're around just in public, but they're usually quiet and looping videos. The button to replay it or to mute it, I've only ever seen that shit at like Science Works.
I believe that's what was going on. It was like a little mounted screen on like the inside of the tram stop kind of barrier thing. This is a high, like, it's one of those things where you go, this must have been installed like literally 90 seconds before I turned up, because I find it hard to believe that this hasn't just been smashed to smithereens.
That was my immediate thought. But, I mean, it is a good area to put it, right? There's not a lot of, you know, gangs around the St. Vincent Hospital.
I don't know, man. You don't want to fuck with the Vinnies.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I'm going to go. I'm going to go and visit it, and I'll put some video up on Instagram stories because I frankly don't believe you. It sounds amazing.
If it's been like smashed up and they've already taken it down because they've decided it's not worth the hassle, a great thing for them to have done would have been to just have it there for 4 hours and then just make the handful of people that have seen it seem insane because it's like... Yeah, it's like a Berenstain Bears thing where in like 10 years' time, there'll be me and a small collection of people that are like, I swear to God I saw it and no one else remembers it. It was just a poster.
It could be a good... It's good word of mouth. It's a great word of mouth campaign. It's
like, yeah.
No one saw it. It was the Phantom Saints Row ad with a button to replay the trailer. Everyone's going
to
want to do that.
The fact that they're putting in this effort for Saints Row, like, they haven't really talked about that game much that I've paid attention to, at least. I know they've obviously done some little trailers and whatever, but, like, it's coming out in 2 weeks or something, and I've barely seen hiding a hair of it, let alone animate a bus stop shit, because, like, the biggest video game ads you tend to get in Melbourne are either on the side of a bus... They'll do those big sort of bus murals, or there's those big murals down that one sort of corridor you walk down to Melbourne Central Station from Swanston Street into Melbourne Central. They'll often paint that big thing with, like, I remember Doom Eternal was there for fucking ages because it was meant to come out in November and then the pandemic and everything. So, but weird.
Yeah. So yeah. I watched, they put out a gameplay trailer. Was it overnight or yesterday? And I watched it today and I was like,
set up the fucking bus stop that they put it
out. I was like, this is fine, but I tell you what, this would hit a bit harder if I was waiting for the 86 while I was watching it. So Hey, I don't know how you guys feeling about this game. I've never went in on any of the originals. I was sort of kind of interested in dipping in, but this gameplay trailer, it's not really doing it for me.
I played some of the third one, which was, you know, when they got proper wacky and it got a good response at the time and it was okay. And then it ended up feeling pretty boring after a point because you're doing a lot of, even though it's over the top and it's got its sense of humor and everything, you're going around an open world doing pretty bad shooting for the majority of that game.
I think I've played all of them and I really like the level of customizability that it has. Like that is its big thing over any GTA game. It is more customizable. You can change the color of everything. There's a million different clothing options. There's stupid guns. There's stupid abilities. Like it's just GTA, but more it's not trying to have any gravitas or, you know, class about it, which, you know, compared to GTA, that's you know, already a low bar, but it limbos under it. I would like this new one to be good. Like, I did enjoy those trashy, purely fun elements of it. And, like, I agree with you, Knox, it is not as good a shooter as a lot of our open world games out there. But there is room for a silly open world action game with vehicle combat and fucking, you know, blowing shit up. There just hasn't been that apart from GTA Online for a decade. So
yeah,
God, I hope it's good.
The potential issue with this is, I believe that this reboot exists because they're wanting to sort of pare back a bit of the sort of over the top stuff in it that people were like, had gone off a bit, gone off the series as it was going on further and further at the time, and B has now dated very badly. So I guess maybe the issue could end up being if they've stripped that stuff away, then it just ends up feeling, you know what, like getting it down to, you know, taking it down a few levels is just going to make it feel on par with the sort of wacky stuff that they do in a GTA or, you know, even a Far Cry. Yeah. Like potentially, so like, it's going to end up having like no point of difference.
Watching this trailer in the background now, I'm reminded a lot of Watch Dogs in particular. Which is probably the thing that is the maybe closest game from more modern times to what Saints Row was doing. That sense of humor that those games had, they you're right, they got to a point where you were the president and you were flying and you were a superhero and everything. And it was all the sort of sense of humor that a lot of it was pulled off really well in the third one that I played. But it's the kind of thing that like kids make fun of millennials for on TikTok or whatever now. It's a very Justin Roiland kind of flavor of thing, but you know, sub that. And this looks to be kind of what you're worried about. I can see why you're thinking that, where it's like an odd middle ground where it's kind of still like looking like it's trying to be wacky. It's very colorful. It's very bombastic, but it comes across like a Borderlands or a Watch Dogs or a any number of game that have
done that same sort of attitude to me from this trailer. I'm still, you know, I'd like it to be good because I'd never, if it's a full reboot, I never played any of the originals, so I'd be, you know, I always like when there's like a reset that makes it a bit of an easier entry point.
Yeah, it looks nice, I liked, too.
I was going to say, environments are beautiful and detailed and, like, great lighting. I mean, I guess that's where we are in video games right now. Like, if you're making a world, it's going to look sick. You're going to have reflecty puddles and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like for it to be... I'm not going to care about the story with this kind of game, as I generally don't with, like... Far Cry is a good example of, like... There's dumb stuff in that is not funny and is trying to be funny. But the appeal is the loop of running around blowing shit up. And if there's enough, you know, things to do and cars to collect and you can buy stupid houses and shit, I'll probably enjoy this.
Yeah.
But I also, yeah, like I started four and that was the president one where it was like, there doesn't need to be aliens and superheroes and flying around. Like, I enjoyed it when it was about having a gang and a hideout and building stuff up and recruiting people and,
yeah,
doing the fun stuff that was in, like, the older GTAs, like San Andreas especially.
That's the sort of thing that they are doing this kind of reboot for, I believe, is to bring it back to, hey, you need to drive a car rather than you can fly.
Yeah. So it's coming out in a lot of different, I'm sure there's a lot of different ways that people are going to play this. I think what I'm going to personally do is take my PlayStation 5 down to the tram stop and try and hack into that screen and just jack myself in and just be sitting there hours on end in the freezing cold. Yeah, I think that's going to be the most optimal. Playing it on a screen that is set inside a giant poster for the game that you're currently playing is... Yeah. The real optimal experience, like the Super Game Boy having the little border around the screen.
I saw something about they might be bringing the ability to play like all of your purchased games on Game Cloud, whatever you call it, Xbox Cloud thing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully if that's true, I would love to be able to play this over that service while I'm here.
Mm.
That would be nice. Because the only thing I've really played is a little bit of some tracks in Mario Kart.
Some new tracks.
Brand new ones, though.
Yep. 8 new tracks? 2 cups?
Yes. Let me refresh my... Because I went through and kind of did these tracks and was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing Mario Kart. And I tell you what, that experience is deleted out of my brain already. It was one of those short-term downloads that my brain was like, I don't need. This can go straight in the fucking recycling bin after we're done here.
Wait a minute. What about the Sydney Sprint or whatever the fucking...
Yeah, there's a Sydney map. You're driving around Sydney. And I tell you what, that looks fucking weird.
Yeah.
It looks so strange driving around a place you've been in Mario Kart. I felt the same thing when I went to Piranha Falls. It's just like the weirdest.
Well, how you drive?
How's the traffic in Sydney Sprint? Is it fucking dog shit like real Sydney?
It kind of is at one point. You go over the bridge and it's gridlocked.
Yeah, you do, and you're leaping past the what's it called? It's not called the Eiffel Tower. I know that. I know Sydney. Opera House.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
It looks like Sydney. It's like got similar looking bricks to when you're standing outside the Opera House. Obviously, it's all completely different in Mario Kart eyes, but like it's a pretty odd feeling driving around a Mario version of a real place.
It's cool. You drive in through the Opera House and there's like a little show going on. It's cool that I feel like a personal point of pride that canonically, there's now a Mario Kart track set in a place where I've done stand-up comedy. That feels nice that, you know, some of my material has taken place within the Mario Kart universe. That was a nice little point of pride for me.
And how would that material go? It would have been adapted slightly to the Mushroom Kingdom.
They used Toad in place of me, which is offensive. I hated that.
Oh, okay.
I think the weirder part of one of these tracks, Knox, is when you drive through New York and there's a bit where you go through Central Park and it's at night and there's a Yoshi just chilling on a park bench by himself in the middle of the night, in the middle of dark Central Park.
He doesn't look wholesome at all, yeah. I had the exact same thought driving past that guy. Was like, this Yoshi is going to and his trench coat will have come off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
you
drive through Central Perk as well, and there's a bunch of little Yoshis who look like the friends. That's not true, but that'd be fucking awesome.
That would be great. These tracks are all... there's a track in there that is new that I thought initially, because they were like, oh, and this new track, which I kind of thought meant, oh, that's pretty cool. They've made a new one for for this wave. And I think actually what it is a track that they had made for the mobile game, and they hadn't put it in yet. So Like, it's in the mobile game now, and it debuted on the Switch version, you know, like a week or two before that.
That's exactly so right. Sky High Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is what I call them, brother.
Cool. Yeah. Is it any good?
I got an idea for Pac-Man, the movie, brother.
is Sky High Sunday any good? Does it feel like a mobile track?
For whatever reason, that one and the New York one and the Sydney one, unfortunately, I don't love them as much. The tour ones just don't quite hit with, especially when so Calamari Desert is in here, which is the one with the train from the 64 one, and that was one of my favorite tracks in that game. And the thing of going back and looking at those tracks and driving through that tunnel and everything is cool. I like that part of it. But I think Sydney and New York, because they're these cities, that gives them a little point of difference. But I didn't love Sky High Sunday.
I thought it was pretty cool. It had like a nice little vertical bit where you're going up a pretty steep incline that gives it a bit of point of difference. But yeah, the ones all the ones that are from Tour, they feel a bit, they're fine in their design of the actual track layout, but they do feel a little like they've been made for a mobile game, and they don't. I kind of like having a track that I haven't played before. Like, it's cool these waves come out, and all the Tour ones are pretty fresh to me. So I like that side of it, that they feel kind of brand new, but they just definitely don't quite have the same pizzazz. And like with all these, you know, as much as like, yeah, having some more tracks in this is cool, I am just really itching for like a new Mario Kart game. Especially I'd love them, the next one, to have like a bit more of like progression and unlock kind of stuff in it. Like, you know, getting this new thing, and it's very much like Mario Kart 8 since it launched on the Switch has just been, you're just getting the 3 stars in each cup for the bragging rights of having it on the screen. There's really no sort of, you know, there's no real value in the game to doing all these tasks, which is something I hope they implement in whatever the next one is.
How many more waves are there?
There are four more waves, 6 total. So,
there's not going to be a new game for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, through to the end of 2023, they're saying.
Fucking hell, yeah.
They're cool, and Mario Kart 8 is still fun, but yeah, it's just like you're not going to get more than you would expect out of these things going forward. Interestingly, I'm wrong about that. Never mind.
Interestingly, I've made up an interesting fact.
Well, there's 3 tour tracks in each one, so probably expect that to continue, I guess, and then the rest from the different consoles.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of something that is just, you know, more of the same, I played a game on Apple Arcade that got sort of announced and released within 24 hours last week. Amazing Bomberman. It's a mobile Bomberman game. It's a new one for the mobile phone. In the trailer, it kind of made it look like it's a pretty unique experience. The levels are kind of songs. It's doing the sort of Tetris effect sort of thing where the levels are kind of choreographed to a song that is playing in the background. And I've always liked Bomberman. I got it and it's fine, but it is just Bomberman. It's that whole kind of hook doesn't really function in any way. Sometimes like items and stuff are sort of dropping down in sync with the music, like on the beats. And it's got a cool like visual style to the like the main menu has a cool little illustrated Bomberman style to it, but
that stuff that was in the trailer, it looks really cool. I assume it would be like a actual part of the game.
Yeah, it's very focused on playing online against people, and it's pretty, you know, it's a good version of Bomberman, especially if you've got a little backbone thing for your phone, or if you're playing with a you know, Bluetooth controller on an iPad or Mac or whatever. It's really hard to play with using the what's even the word for it, but using the touchscreen, like the just doing movement with that, as is the case with most things, I guess. But a little disappointing that the trailer made it look like it was a, you know, a bit of a different, because even like Tetris Effect isn't mixing up the actual formula of Tetris, but the music and those tracks in each of the levels really does have a bit more of an impact over how it feels to play the game. And that's just sort of not really the case with this. But if you like Bomberman and you have Apple Arcade, then you have access to this. And it's a good version of Bomberman.
Okay.
Which feels fine to play in the terms of Bomberman, but don't go in expecting a kind of a different experience.
Because there is Super Bomberman 2 coming out as well for the Switch, isn't there?
Yeah, they're making a new one.
The Bomberman R1, right? Is that one?
Yep.
Yes.
Bomberman R2.
Okay. Competing Bombermans. I played a game that is also similar to previous games in the series. I played a game that came out on Game Pass, I think, two days ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. 2 Point Campus, from the developers of 2 Point Hospital, and before that, Theme Hospital, which is the same as 2 Point Hospital. This one is a mild twist on the format. It is a university campus, interface-wise, graphics-wise, all that stuff. It's exactly the same as the previous one that came out a couple of years ago now.
Yep.
But there is a fun little twist of... you want to like hit certain grades and keep your students happy in the same sense that you do it with every simulation management game. But you're trying to like get everyone to get A pluses, and you do that by having more libraries and more lecture theater. It's that same formula of hiring janitors, hiring teachers, putting drink vending machines everywhere. But just the flavor of it being a university, and you can buy more plots of land around your initial one to expand it. You're chucking posters on the wall and putting fucking foosball tables in.
Yep.
It's just fun. It's the same formula, but that new coat of paint. And it's a perfect little gameplay loop. And I've started the campaign that they sort of like, automatically chuck you on to begin with. And it's great. It teaches you the mechanics really simply but explains them very thoroughly. It's still got a British narrator. Well, here you are at 2 Point Campus.
Yeah.
Now you can do the thing.
Character designs are still Wallace and Gromit ass looking motherfuckers.
They truly are. I was trying to figure out you're right. It's like Wallace and Gromit mixed with like, if they'd have made like a Wallace and Gromit game for the SNES in 1995, these guys look like the CG mid-90s box art.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Of Wallace.
Yes. Yep. It's not revolutionizing the genre in any way. But if you like those games, and like, I would dip in on Theme Hospital every few years since the 90s. Up until they made 2 Point Hospital, they're great. You get hours just get lost to these games. You chuck on a podcast and you make sure that there's enough potted plants to make everyone happy in the corridors. I'm loving it, and it's free on Game Pass. If you have Game Pass, perfect for PC. I'd recommend it if you've ever liked any of these games. I'm having a really good time with it.
So it's a very throwback-looking thing, because the 2 Point Studios people who are the ones who made these games, they're like some people who worked on Theme Hospital and shit from back in the day, I believe, right? Like they are the people who did these. So like for them to be doing the nostalgia play of like, remember when there were Sims about every fucking job and place that you could ever imagine? That's still happening. That's a great thing about campus games. You keep getting all, but like it is a addictive thing when you find one that clicks with you. These tycoon things.
Exactly. Well, I think the first, I assume it's the same company. It was Theme Park, which was, a predecessor to Roller Coaster Tycoon, and that was another one that I loved as well. Just nailed the formula, they're still doing it. Bullfrog was the initial developer, and I do think the 2 Point people are Bullfrog graduates. But I'm loving 2 Point Campus. If you think this looks good, it is.
I think
two thumbs up.
Yeah, great.
2 Point Campus.
2 points to being on campus. Party and party.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, we had better wrap it up for another week, if that does us for new releases. We'll be back next week. I'm going to play Cult of the Lamb because it sounds like it's a good time.
It's a, it's made in Melbourne, that game, and it does look good.
Yep. Now they
getting some buzz.
They, by rights, they should have the tram stop video ad.
Oh,
yeah. I'm having an absolute cult of a lamb.
Hoping for some Sam Kekovic DLC down the line. That would be really exciting stuff. But yeah, for now, we're going to wrap it up. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the other stuff that we do. We've got the Patreon. You can get on there and get yourself a bonus extra episode every week. And thank you to everyone who's on there. We really appreciate it. Lots of good content going up on there all the time. We've got our video series as well on our YouTube channel that everyone can access. We're currently playing through teen horror romp, The Quarry, and having a great time doing that. They're going up every week. Filthycasuals.com.au is the best place to go and check all that out. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Yeah, you wouldn't know, but I actually, it's kind of embarrassing, but I named my dog after a video game. Anyway, come here, Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex's Revenge, Wrath of Cortex. Fuck, what was his name? God damn, no, my dog's getting away. I can't remember his proper name. It was released in 1998.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.